This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Most of you will know who the Supreme Court nominee is by the time you see this, but at the moment, awash in a sea of media handicapping and speculation, I don't. I think it's worth taking a step back at how the president turned this into a primetime extravaganza, built up the suspense, but also this voracious media appetite to understand what's happening with a decision that hasn't been made yet. So the coverage has been at times all over the place. Now, because we always cover these things by, like campaigns, there has to be a front runner, even though, unlike in campaigns, when you have lots of voters and you can look at polls and go knocking door to door, there's only one voter in this decision who to put on the Supreme Court. But somehow the media divined that the front runner was Brett Kavanaugh. He's one of the four federal appeals court judges, the one here in D.C., who were the finalists in this kind of fluid process. And so there was a lot of scrutiny on Kavanaugh, including the fact that he worked for Ken Starr, that he had written a section of the Starr report on saying a president can be impeached for lying, but later said presidents, sitting presidents at least, shouldn't be distracted by investigations and lawsuits, which might come up in the Trump presidency. But most of all, that he had ties to the Bush family, that he worked in the Bush White House. President Trump, it was clear from the campaign, not a big fan of anybody who's like, his name is Bush. So gradually, the media by osmosis decided that Kavanaugh maybe was slipping in his front-runner status, but they had an alternative, this sort of Plan B front-runner, and that was Amy Coney Barrett, federal appeals court judge in Chicago, seven children, devout Catholic, and her faith became the subject of a lot of media scrutiny. Molly Hemingway on my show said she thought some of this coverage was bigoted because there was such a focus on whether or not her religion and a tight-knit Christian group that she was involved with might affect her judicial rulings. Now, this did come up. Dianne Feinstein had pressed her on this at her confirmation hearing last year. But with all of that, there were also some things that she had said or written about suggesting she had a little less respect for the importance of precedent on the high court, which made some people feel, well, she would be more willing to overrule Roe v. Wade. And then Politico said, look, her interview with the president went poorly. So everybody said, okay, that's it, went poorly, she's out of it. But the New York Times on Monday morning saying, well, he still talks about her a lot, says positive things about her. And according to the Times, Sean Hannity, who supports Judge Barrett as a smart pick, was a guest at the New Jersey Golf Club talking to the president. So you had the two people who the press deemed most likely then being knocked down, thereby creating space, or at least media chatter, about the other two, Tom Hardiman, who is a federal appeals court judge in Cincinnati, and the president was said in these reports, New York Times, Washington Post, elsewhere, to be taken by his personal story, came from kind of a working-class family, drove a taxi to put himself through college. Also, in a widely reported conversation, Mitch McConnell, who can barely afford to lose more than one vote here, is said to have told the president that the two finalists most easy to confirm would be Hardiman and also Raymond Kethledge in Cincinnati. But the Times said that when said that when he had his interview with the president, Trump found Kethledge to be a likable guy but comparatively dull. And we can't have that, can we? Although, you know, I guess a judge's personality is important because one of the things you have to do on the Supreme Court is build coalitions, try to put together majorities. So the bottom line here is, as we headed into the Monday night primetime unveil or revealing, press didn't really know, and Trump himself said he wasn't making up his mind until noon on Monday. So all of this handicapping, speculation, the tidbits, it all depends on which sources are willing to talk, who they favored, what snippets of conversation they were relaying, all of which made for something of a morass, but probably boosted the suspense for the big show, the big announcement on primetime television. And as the president would say, the ratings have got to be huge. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Back on track. Bill Martinez live.
America. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. It is all right there for you. And if you're so inclined, love to hear from you. Drop us a line, Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Comes to me direct, NSA approved. You'll be happy to hear. We're standing by for Ann McElhaney. Just a little bit of background so you understand. She is producing the feature film on Gosnell, The Trial of America's Most Prolific Serial Killer. It's due to be released nationwide in theaters come October the 12th. And in her latest column, she talks about bye-bye, Justice Kennedy, I won't miss you, and has the background to support her argument here. And we'll be talking to her in just a moment. Of course, we've spoken with Ann and Phelim, who are the co-producers of the feature film of Gosnell, and which, boy, I'll tell you, this is going to be incredibly shocking, especially on the heels of everything that has been discussed lately about abortion, how that issue continues to be an important issue discussed. And I think we have to be careful to a degree. I say be careful as a culture, because because when in talking about this, the whole issue of abortion waste being brought up right now, because we're talking about a judge, a replacement for Justice Kennedy and Brett Kavanaugh, all the hyperbole that's out there, it's pretty crazy that it has been, that it's come down to that, because the extreme measures in which they're talking about this issue, that suddenly one justice is going to come in and turn over Roe v. Wade, and they should be, I guess, in a sense, concerned about it, because after all, as we mentioned before with Megan Barth earlier, we've got an issue regarding abortion that was thrust upon we the people because of some judicial activism. This wasn't a law passed in passed the way it's supposed to be through the legislative branches of our government. This was done by activist judges, and this is the difference and what we the people in Main Street America is understanding, is that we want a judiciary to stay in its lane, to do what it's supposed to do. And so that has been part of the problem. But we'll continue that conversation. But right now we were able to connect with Ann McElhaney. Ann, good to have you back here on Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much, Bill. Great to be here.
Well, we were talking earlier, and I was, you know, we were touching on the fact that you and Phelan were, you know, producers of the Gosnell movie, which is coming in October, and I cannot wait to see the screening on this. And, of course, this is going to bring to the conversation in the marketplace what has happened, you know, with the whole abortion industry and how irresponsible. I mean, you have these people, and I say these people, people on the left particularly, but those that are proponents of abortion, that we're all doing this for the sake of the woman, but yet you have a killer like Gosnell on the loose, and you wonder how many other Gosnells are out there.
Absolutely, you know, and yeah, as you say, you know, it's meant to be all about women's health, and we really care about women's health. No one cares about women's health. They certainly didn't care about women's health in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Two women died in that clinic. Samika Shaw and Karnemaya Munger. Samika Shaw was a young African-American mother. Karnemaya Munger was an immigrant in the sanctuary city of Philadelphia. I wish you could see my face as I spit out those words. Mm, yeah. And no one gave a damn. No one cared. The babies who were murdered were black. Most of them were black. And where were Black Lives Matter? Nobody cared about this. This film could not be coming out at a better time. And obviously with the great news that we've had in Supreme Court, this is an amazing time. As you say, in the marketplace, for the marketplace in America to learn the story about abortion in America, to learn about what the rules and the regulations and the laws are, that you can have an abortion in America at 9 months, that the laws can only be compared to the most despotic places on the planet, Pakistan, China, North Korea. They're the ones we're in bed with on these laws. So, you know, this is an incredible moment, and I think it's extraordinary. You know, it took us 4 years, but here we are, and it's like this was meant to be.
Exactly. Well, things always happen at the right time, as you say, and meant to be. And you and I had this conversation. Gosh, I was looking back, and it was a couple of years ago when we were talking about this.
I know.
And
incredible.
But I'm excited, you know, for everyone. I think for people who are pursuers of the truth, what this movie will do, it is going to roll back the curtain in so many ways. You know, this combined with what, you know, some of the states are doing in terms of saying, hey, let's be honest about abortion. Let's not, you know, let's look into this deeper. You know, as you and I discussed, you know, women who have participated in abortions, it's almost like people on the left don't even want to listen to them. These are the women that supposedly they care so much about and they want to protect. Well, these women are heartbroken in knowing that they have participated in the murder, the dismemberment of their child, and what grief they're going through is unbelievable. Yeah. And again, and I've said this repeatedly, I think it's a matter of time before the men who have been co-conspirators or they've been co-agents in this process as well. They've been told to shut up because it's a woman's body and you have no say about it. But I believe there's going to be a heartfelt cry that's going to be heard from coast to coast just from the men who have realized that have participated
in
this.
You are spot on. You couldn't be more right about this. I've had an experience myself showing this film to a man, a friend, you know, just the way it worked out. I just said, hey, you know, do you want to see this? Like, he's a buddy. I mean, he watched it, and his reaction was extraordinary. And he said, you know, you have no idea what's going to happen here. Men are going to see this film, and they're going to know that they were the ones who drove women to these places. Right. They're going to remember this. All of this is going to be this, you know, this wound that hasn't gone away.
No.
And, you know, and a conversation is going to happen. I mean, I think with Kavanaugh, we have a possibility for real legal change. But something else has to happen alongside that. There has to be a change of heart.
Yes.
I have watched people watch this movie, and their hearts have been changed. A woman at an event I had in Pennsylvania, she brought her daughter along, who was like just completely convinced, pro-choice, absolutely. About 15 years old, very, you know, and you know what those kids are like. She changed her mind. She changed her mind after she saw the film. So the 12th of October, people have to save the date. And what they have to do is, we have to fill those cinemas. There can be, every cinema seat has to be filled.
Yes.
We're sending a message with this film.
Well, we're going to continue to do our part in this, Anne, to promote it, you know, across the country, throughout our national network, to let people know that October the 12th is going to be an incredible date, and they do not want to miss the seeing of this movie, Gosnell, The Trial of America's Most Prolific Serial Killer. We've got more from Ann on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about her column, her article, Bye Bye Justice Kennedy, Why I Won't Miss You. Stay with us. More from Ann right here on Bill Martinez Live.
Now there's a proven powerful anti-inflammatory that absorbs 40 times better. Yes, Nanocurcumin Plus from One Planet Nutrition contains smaller particle size that allows absorption over 40 times better into your bloodstream. Nanocurcumin Plus may also help reduce pain and inflammation, detoxify, and help against heart disease and diabetes. Nanocurcumin Plus is now on sale at OnePlanetNutrition.com. Use promo code GCN for your special discount at OnePlanetNutrition.com. The next generation of nutritional supplementation.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dillon Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go, while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dillon Bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dillon Bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dillon Bottle today at dyln.co. That's dyln.co.
Are you retired or facing retirement and you're afraid your income is going to be less than you'd like? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and I want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current schedule, creating extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusades, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
You hold my head, you hold my head, you find me who I am. You hold my head.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, it's the way you like us, fresh Russian Independent every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back. Just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour. You know, you got to think about this. The majority opinion of activist judges of 1973 opened the door to the Kermit Gosnells, to millions of abortions. I mean, to the tune of, what, in excess of 58 million, maybe close to 60 million abortions now. And yet we say that we care about life. Black lives say they matter. But yet most of those babies that have been exterminated have come out of the black community. And why are we surprised? I mean, you know, Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, who Hillary Clinton just got an award for, you know, here recently, you know, not that long ago, you know, which is amazing to me because we think about what's happening in our culture. We want to take down statues, you know, because of slavery and other issues in the culture that we're having problems with dealing with historically. But yet we ignore someone like Margaret Sanger, who is a eugenicist, who believed that, you know, like Darwin, that, you know, it's all about the strong surviving. And she looked out upon our society and said these less thans should be exterminated. And McElhinney is with us. You know, it is amazing the things that we hold to conditionally in our culture. But if we're really going to return to a culture that promotes life, then we need to get deep into this wound. It needs to be opened up and lanced in such a way, as they say, not only that the men, but I hear grandparents are going to be affected by this and realizing that their grandchildren are no more because of this.
Yeah. No, and it's true, and it's an interesting point you make, because it's exactly what's happened since we started working on this film and we wrote the book and, you know, and then produced the movie. All kinds of people have been in touch with me, and I've had grandparents in touch with me, very tragically in touch, grandparents of children who never were, you know, and who discovered, you know, that their daughter or, you know, are their, their son's girlfriend went to Gosnell's clinic and that they lost a child there. I know one woman who tried to retrieve body parts of a child that she knew with her grandchild so that she could have them buried in a Christian burial. I mean, these are stories that are going to change hearts and minds. And the film, you know, the film has a unique, you know, this is a unique thing with movies, with storytelling, is that, you know, You mentioned the numbers, and the numbers are like it's a Holocaust. It's really hard to get your head around millions and millions of dead babies. Mm-hmm. What we do, I think, in the movie very effectively is make people think just about one or two or three, and particularly baby boy A, who is a real person who was born in 2008 on the 12th of July, who shares a birthday with my own father, and who lived and had such an impact on the workers that saw him alive, struggling to be alive, that they took photographs of him. And those photographs put Gosnell in prison forever. He's serving three life sentences now because of those photographs, because of that little boy who never got to live, but maybe will end up changing the whole world.
Oh, we could only hope. And again, my consideration, I know you're looking at the babies, and I'm looking at these activist judges. If they realize today, whoever is still remaining alive, that what they did was they basically signed a death warrant to millions of babies. And what this did was give place to the Gosnells and others. And, you know, we talk about Gosnell because he got caught. How many others out there are yet to be discovered? But this is what happens.
And that's totally right. And that's totally right. And we know that because, I mean, you know that after David DeLayden's fantastic investigation.
And then he ends up in jail. Ann, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it galls me. He ends up in jail and Planned Parenthood just goes off skipping down the road like as if nothing happened.
No, well, there'll be a reckoning, because I can tell you that man deserves whatever the highest honor in the United States is. I think President Trump needs to definitely give it to David DeLayden, what he has done for this, for the country, for the whole world. He's such a hero. I just love that guy. I mean, he's extraordinary what he's done. And you know, and so I, because of what he did, Congress did their own investigation. They didn't rely on anything that David had uncovered. And they have affidavits from people who were working at a clinic in Fort Worth, which were exactly the same types of conditions, like same exact types of stories being told of what was going on there. So anyone who thinks that Gosnell is an outlier, don't comfort yourself. Unfortunately, you can't comfort yourself by saying this man's an outlier. These stories are, they're all over the place. Mm. And they're all over the place because for the left, abortion is like a sacrament. It's like their sacrament, their secular sacrament. And above all else, it must be protected. And so you have a situation with Gosnell where for 17 years, no one from the Department of Health went to work out what was going on there. 17 years, during which two women died. Samika Shaw died and Karnamaya Monger died. And died, you know, and Karnamaya Monger, you know, a refugee, you know. And who cared? Nobody cared.
Right.
Nobody cared.
Right.
And the bodies piling up in the basement and Black Lives Matter didn't care. So, you know, it's just extraordinary. And I do think one of the things that's going to be amazing about this film is that people are going to learn this story for the first time. And they're going to have a lot of questions that they're going to want answered. And one of those questions, by the way, is where was the media? So where was the media? Where was MSNBC? Where was CNN when this story broke? Why is it that so many people in America have never heard the name Gosnell? And one of the things that we feel strongly about with this movie is that people are going to know his name. We're going to make sure of that.
Right. And that is the amazing part. And the other thing that's amazing, too, about this, Anne, is the abortion industry. I mean, to think of it as an industry, how many moving parts have come together, you know, with, you know, Planned Parenthood, all these different clinics from coast to coast. You know, we talked about Margaret Sanger. Where did she place a preponderance of these abortion clinics? But in the poorest of the poor areas, she has lived and the industry has lived off the back of poor people. They have decimated this. You talk about the institutionalization of the murder of the less thans, mostly blacks. You know these numbers of abortions. I think the percentage is about 70% of the abortions that are have been done on the black community. I think that may
Absolutely.
Be a little high on that number, but it's somewhere. It's extraordinary. So you would think, you know, if nothing else, I mean, for all these black leaders who care about their communities, I don't hear Jesse Jackson. I don't hear Cory Booker. Yeah. I don't hear these people taking a stand for their own people. It's just like, you know, I guess maybe they're like the refugee. They're expendable.
Yeah. No, it's extraordinary. I mean, you know, they're going to put up a statue to Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, a guy who tried to beat up a police officer in his cop car, tried to kill him, and ended up dead for his trouble. And they're going to put up a statue to him. No one's ever heard of Samika Shaw. I mean, I had a funny experience when I was on Fox News talking about the book with Bill O'Reilly, and in the green room beforehand, Juan Williams was there, and he started said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Oh, well, I've got this book, you know." About Gosnell, and he said, "Oh, we know all about that."
Oh.
And it was really funny because it just really stopped me in my tracks. And I just looked at him and I said, "Do you know who Samika Shaw is?" And of course, he didn't know who Samika Shaw was. And I said, "Well, she was a young African American woman who died after a botched abortion at Gosnell's clinic. No one knows this story. You don't know
this
story. You've never even heard of her. But you know who Michael Brown is." And it really focused my mind that this story needs to be told. This movie needs to be told. People need to see this. 12th of October. They've got to buy tickets, buy them in advance.
Exactly.
Because we think this is going to make a huge difference. The effect, I've watched audiences see this film across the country. I've had these sneak peeks. And it has been unbelievable to see the effect it's had on people, where they've just, you know, had standing ovation after standing ovation, and people said, "I'll do anything to make sure people see this film because it has such an impact on people."
Exactly. And when you go, do not go by yourself. Take your neighbors. Get your friends to go along. Get your Bible study groups. Get everybody in there. October the 12th, nationwide in theaters, Gosnell, The Trial of America's Most Prolific Serial Killer. It's due to be released, as we say, nationwide in theaters on October the 12th. And thank you so much for all your hard work, for bringing the truth to bear on this issue. And I can't wait for October the 12th. Thanks again. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. We'll talk again, I'm sure, Bill. Thank you.
You got
so
it.
Much.
Take care.
Appreciate it.
It's just about 29 minutes after the top of the hour.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. No Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A lengthy rescue operation has been completed in Thailand. All 12 members of a boys' soccer team and their coach, who got trapped inside a cave system by rising waters, have now been rescued, and all are said to be doing okay. President Trump is now airborne on his way to Europe for a more than week-long mission that starts with a NATO summit in Brussels, where he's again expected to tell allies they're not contributing enough. He said as he was leaving the White House,
NATO has not treated us fairly, but I think we'll work something out. We pay far too much. They pay far too little, but we will work it out.
But European Council President Donald Tusk has a message for President Trump. He says, quit bad-mouthing NATO allies. He says, dear America, appreciate your allies. After all, you don't have that many anymore. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Think they'd get away with it, did you? Bill Martinez live.
Back with you. Good to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, and with millions of eyes watching soccer these days, and we're coming down to the finals, the World Cup. The buzz is all around. This is a perfect time for a book titled Red Card, How the U.S. Blew the Whistle on the World's Biggest Sports Scandal, How U.S. Law Enforcement Exposed It, and What It Means for the Future of Soccer, and How this story impacts geopolitics. Ken Benzinger is with us. He is a veteran journalist who worked at the Wall Street Journal, LA Times, and since 2014 for BuzzFeed News as a member of their investigations team. Ken, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Red Card, a book that had to be written, did it not?
I mean, I think so. This case is so massive and so big, and such a far-reaching thing. It's kind of, I felt like it was the opportunity I needed to do. I felt like the world needed to really understand how this case worked.
just so you know, Ken does have a dog. That's a dog in the background. No, not at all. I mean, hey, welcome. I mean, we love dogs here on this show, so that's fine. I just wanted you not to worry about it. I mean, you know, we are live, we're happening, and so, you know, we take it as it comes. So we give a shout out to all the dogs across the country, you know. Maybe some who've heard the dog barking and have joining in, you know, and so anyway, but, you know, Ken, as you stated in this book, this all started out very innocently. I mean, it was a tax report, you know, and they're checking out the taxes. And next thing you know, they pull the string and this is like, whoa, what do we got here?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the case started in 2010 as something very specific that didn't ever really congeal. And then they got this tax thing, and it seemed like a small hook. It didn't seem like a big deal, but they decided to explore it anyway. And when they reeled this one fish in, so to speak, they discovered something truly massive. And the more they dug, the bigger it got. And when something that started with just a couple guys poking around on theory turned into really one of the biggest criminal investigations of corruption, international corruption in U.S. history. At one point, there was 12 prosecutors working on the case at once, which is just a massive outlay of resources. And the more they dug, the more they found. And you know, the case file is massive. The prosecutors were getting millions of pages of documents. It was really giant.
Well, you know, and you think about soccer, you know, the whole world of soccer and, you know, the youth that were particularly here in this country, you know, gravitating to it. It had really taken off. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, it was baseball, basketball and football. My son, my oldest son, got involved with soccer at an early age and still is very much a big part of his life. In fact, I can't get him away from the TV right now during the World Cup because there's not a game he's going to miss, you know, which is enjoyable because when it comes to soccer, I got to go to him and say, okay, now explain to me again. I still, for whatever reason, Ken, this is just my foible. I cannot get offsides. I just don't, I'll just, you know, for just being totally transparent with you, I do not understand offsides, but, you know, it's just me.
I can try, but I'm not sure your audience will suffer through my explanation of it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what my son kind of rolls his eyes. It's almost like that scene from, what was it, Urban Cowboys with Billy Crystal, and they're out there riding the horses, and they're trying to explain to the guy how he can watch TV and have the VCR record another program, and they're just going on and on. They finally just say, he doesn't get it. He'll never get it. You know, that's the way my son looks at me on this deal. But getting back to your book, Red Card, let's talk about the players here in this country. You particularly highlight a high-living soccer dad, you say, who ascended to the highest ranks of the sport while creaming millions from its coffers. Tell us about him.
Yeah, so this is Chuck Blazer. Chuck Blazer is almost unquestionably the most powerful American soccer official in history. He was the first American on FIFA's executive committee in decades, if not ever, but it's not entirely clear if an American has ever on that position before, but he was, and he rose up from the most humble of beginnings in terms of soccer. This is the true suburban soccer dad dragging his kids to youth soccer practice. And the kind of guy where, you know, you'd hear him on the sidelines saying, if I ran this sport, here's what I'd do. And you'd sort of chuckle at him, except he actually did end up running this sport. He rose up from Westchester, New York, outside of New York City, that county, to Zurich, where he was one of 24 people running the entire sport throughout the entire planet.
Unbelievable. How was he able to do this? I mean, here he is, you know, the typical soccer dad, and from the sidelines to Zurich.
Yeah, I mean, I think he got lucky, and he was also smart and opportunistic. And he saw, in the late 70s, the first sort of American soccer boom. He saw an opportunity for upward mobility, so to speak, in the sport because no one else really saw it having any commercial possibilities, and he thought it did. He was a salesman and someone who was willing to take risks, and he had free time in his hands, and he thought, I'm going to dedicate myself to this because I think there's something here. And so he began climbing, and by the mid-80s, he'd been elected to leadership of the U.S. Soccer Federation, and then He briefly ran a pro soccer league that failed in just a couple of years. And then he struck gold when he convinced this guy from Trinidad to run for president of the Regional Confederation, which is sort of the FIFA subdivision that overlooks soccer in North and Central America, as well as the Caribbean. And he convinced this guy from Trinidad to run for the presidency and became effectively his campaign manager. Wow. And the deal was, if I get you elected, you're going to put me into a position of power, too. And he did. He reciprocated, made Blazer the general secretary, which is, if you think about it, it's a little bit like someone being the chairman, the other person being the CEO.
Right.
Blazer's job was to run the thing on a day-to-day basis, and Warner was the Trinidadian guy.
Jack Warner that you mentioned, right? Yeah.
That's right. And he was the president. He was the political person. He was supposed to get the votes, and Blazer was the administrative guy. But for him, that was perfectly suited, because being administrative meant he could control all the contracts, and he could watch all the money coming in and control the money going out. And one of the very first things he does is write himself in his new position is to write himself a contract to pay himself 10% of all revenues that come into this confederation. Well, in 1990, he didn't hardly have any revenues.
Right.
But by the time he left in 2011, he had $60 million a year in revenue. So 10% of that is $6 million. Not bad.
Not bad, yeah.
Income. Yeah.
That is amazing how he rose up through the ranks. So as the IRS is looking at this, and as you say, they get a hook in there and they say, oh, well, let's just check this out. But then it spreads. I mean, there's no doubt that this is just an incredible amount of corruption. What did they discover?
They discovered a couple things. One, they found out what they had originally suspected was true was in fact true, which was that the high up officials within FIFA had a practice of taking bribes to steer their votes for important FIFA decisions one way or the other. The most sort of outstanding example of that, of course, is where the World Cup is hosted, right? That's probably the most important single decision FIFA takes in any period. And what they found out was that people like Blazer and others would actually take bribes to vote one way or the other.
Exactly.
But the other thing that they discovered they hadn't expected was that that there was much more bribery going on almost a daily basis when it came to assignment of contracts for television and sponsorship rights. And that every tournament, or almost every tournament, and every sponsorship deal, and every uniform deal, and all these things, turns out to have often have a bribe accompanying it. And this was the big shocker for them. This is the thing they didn't expect, didn't know what happened, was that that there was just bribes everywhere. One person that got to cooperate with the investigation told them that he personally had paid $160 million
wow.
in bribes.
Ken, we got to go to break. More from Ken Bensing after this.
This report is brought to you by Orthodermatologics, the makers of Salik Brodalumab Injection. For over 25 years, Jane Nastasi searched for the right treatment for her plaque psoriasis, a chronic non-contagious skin disease that caused her embarrassment and forced her to wear clothing that exposed little skin, even during the summer.
After trying many treatments, Jane's dermatologist suggested she try Salik Brodalumab Injection, a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from injections or pills, systemic therapy, or phototherapy, treatment using ultraviolet light treatment, and who have tried other systemic therapies that didn't work or stopped working. It's not known whether Salik is safe and effective in children. Salik works differently than other psoriasis treatments by blocking a specific group of proteins at the site of inflammation. Patients often try a variety of treatments before finding one that works, or sometimes a treatment works for a while and then stops. Since being treated with Salik, Jane's skin is almost cleared.
Spent years uncomfortable in my own skin. Salik changed that for me. I hope others with this condition will talk to their doctor about available treatment options to find what works best for them.
Salik Brodalumab Injection is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from injections, pills, systemic therapy, or phototherapy, and who have tried another systemic therapy that didn't work or stopped working. Do not take Salik if you are allergic to any of its ingredients. Tell your doctor if you have a history of suicidal thoughts, depression, anxiety, or mood problems, or if you start to have these, as suicidal thoughts and behavior have occurred in patients treated with Salik. Salik may lower your ability to fight infections and may increase your risk of infection. Before starting Salik, your doctor should test for tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or have symptoms of infection, such as fever, fatigue, cough, or any type of sores, or if you plan to receive or have recently received a vaccine. If you have Crohn's disease, do not use Salik, as symptoms may worsen. Talk to your doctor about additional safety information and to see if Salik is an option for you. For full prescribing information, including medication guide, please visit www.salik.com or call Salik Solutions at 1-855-RX-SALIK, 1-855-797-4547, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I can't believe I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You have been lied to. Generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror. And now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
You've reached Bill Martinez live for Spanish Press 2.
Back with you, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, a conversation with Ken Bensinger continues. Red card, how the U.S. blew the whistle on the world's biggest sports scandal, how U.S. law enforcement exposed it, what it means for the future of soccer, and how this story impacts geopolitics. This is incredible. I mean, the level of scandal, the countries involved, this ranks amongst the largest and far-reaching in history, Ken writes, touching hundreds of officials in at least 24 countries across multiple continents in the course of their meticulous investigation, which has been ongoing for nearly 8 years. Federal prosecutors charged over 40 individuals and multiple corporations with corruption, identified hundreds of millions of dollars in bribes and won forfeitures and fines approaching $400 million. They're digging uncovered corruption dating back to the 70s that spread from Switzerland, where FIFA is based, throughout the entire world, and bribes as large as $100 million and as small as 5,000 officials at every level of the game. Ken, this is extraordinary, this kind of corruption. And when you think that, this is for the kids. I mean, soccer, this is about, yes, it grows up into the pro ranks and, the international outreach as well. But at the basis of this, especially here in our country, because we're still rather young compared to these other countries in learning the game and participating in it, this is shocking.
Yeah, I mean, you summed it up nicely. There's just it's an incredibly large, basically criminal conspiracy is how it was identified by the prosecutors. And the way they described the corruption was endemic, meaning that it was at every level. It wasn't isolated at one part of the soccer pyramid, but it was at every level of the sport. And I think I mentioned pyramid on purpose because that's sort of how soccer ultimately functioned. Our kids play youth soccer, you know, here in the States, we think of it as a sort of independent thing. But in reality, pretty much every organized soccer institution answers up the chain to the next level, and that goes all the way up to Zurich. And so FIFA in Zurich is the top of the pyramid, and it radiates down from there. And what they found is that it was that the kind of corruption they saw at Zurich was replicated all the way down. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing that as well, looking at some old news clips about AYSO and other kinds of youth soccer in the U.S. And you would see, you know, periodic cases of different kinds of criminal acts by administrators of little youth soccer leagues, right? Mm-hmm. You would see people stealing from the leagues, and you would see kickback schemes with sponsors and all kinds of stuff like that. So it was really, they'd really uncovered a completely corrupt culture. And as you mentioned, who gets hurt by this? Well, it's the person that gets hurt by this is the kid, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the people who love the sport. So, you know, in a country like ours or other countries, we see children who aren't able to play the sport the way they'd like to play it because there's not resources available for youth soccer. Now, maybe in the U.S. we have a little bit more money, that's an option.
Right.
As to say, there's possibilities out there. There's options out there. But in other countries, you know, you can literally see kids who can't play the sport because there simply isn't the money to
exactly
get their fields or provide them equipment. And then for the fans, it hurts as well. I mean, I've been to countries in South America where going to the stadium is kind of a shocking experience. The relative decrepitude of the stadiums, the lack of facilities, it's just a miserable experience. And that's because a lot of the money from the sport doesn't bleed down to the teams and the local things. And where is it? Well, it's some of it's in the pockets of corrupt officials, and some of it's in the pockets of these TV and broadcasters and sponsors who end up paying far less than they would have otherwise if not for the corrupt nature of the sport.
Unbelievable. And it's got to be that much more galling for you as you travel and you see these venues like that and knowing that this is what's taken place. How do they clean this up, Ken? I mean, this is from the head down. I mean, there's so many other institutions, you know, whether it's sports, politics, government bureaucracies, where, you know, as they say, it starts from the head and goes on down. You know, and this, because they've gotten away with this for so long, I mean, this is such a deep cultural issue. I mean, we're talking about draining the swamp. I mean, it's like there's lots of swamps around these days. How do you clean this up?
I mean, how do you clean it up? Well, I think it starts with you know, efforts at governance reform and efforts to pressure FIFA to be more transparent. And so, you know, we're seeing some of that. I think one of the motives of the prosecutors in the U.S. case was to obviously to arrest and convict people who had committed crimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think another was to sort of put pressure on FIFA to get a DONE Act together and clean things up. And so what have they done? Well, they've instituted some reforms. They've changed the way that they vote for where the World Cup is hosted and the composition of their executive board. So, for example, for the first time ever, there are women on FIFA's top executive board, and the Secretary General of FIFA for the first time ever is a woman. That's a big shift for them. But I think you have to continue to pressure. And I think not just the U.S., but other countries have to be singling out and sort of publicly bringing to justice people who commit crimes under the auspices of FIFA.
Mm-hmm. Now, did this go...
becomes an unfair.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but did this impact AYSO beyond the fact that some monies were, you know, taken out? Was the AYSO affected by this scandal and corruption?
I don't think so directly. I mean, I think, you know, they didn't target anyone from the AYSO. Only two, I think, or three Americans were to date have been prosecuted in the case.
Mm-hmm.
I brought up the AYSO not to suggest that it was directly involved in the criminal case, but to suggest that that the kind of corrupt culture that is persistent at the highest ranks also can be found in the lower ranks of the sport. So I don't know that AOSO is directly targeted in this particular investigation, but I do think that the ripple effect of the sport's problems can be seen sort of eventually at every level. And what I think what could happen is actually AOSO could become a better organization with more money available at every level.
Well, that would be a positive ripple effect. Also, the fact that the government is aware of this kind of scandal, they're going to be in the crosshairs, not only FIFA, but anything that, has any kind of relationship with it. So in terms of transparency accountability, I got to imagine that this is going to be a shift within their culture, but one that would benefit, everyone concerned, particularly the kids, as you say, facilities could improve. If you start looking at it in a way of where, what you're doing to honor the sport and the people participating in it, whether they're a fan or a child participating in it, this could be a good thing. Ken, in your study of this, did you find in any other sport, any other corruption like this that you could point to and say, well, this is bad, but it's not as bad as, or it's worse than anything that we've ever imagined here in the United States?
Yeah, I mean, the example that most readily comes to mind is one that the investigators in this case looked into, which was the International Olympic Committee and problems it's had. And the test case for that was the Salt Lake City Olympic scandal, which you may or may not recall, but Salt Lake City was competing with other cities to host the Winter Olympics in 2002. And in the bidding period, it turned out that the Salt Lake City bid committee was bribing everyone in sight, all the Olympic voters all over the world, giving them bribes to try to get them to vote for Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty bad. I mean, they were giving people cash. They were also doing things like giving the children of Olympic committee members scholarships to attend American universities, and then paying for their, not just their tuition, but their books and their apartment and whatever else. Mm-hmm. So pretty blatant bribery. And prosecutors in that case brought a criminal case against the men who ran the bid, and it was actually a complete train wreck of a criminal investigation, or not an investigation, but a trial. They lost very badly at trial, and everyone walked away scot-free. And the prosecutors in this case took that as an example of how to extra airtight and bulletproof their case, but also took a lot of notes from that. I think one of the other ones that comes to mind, of course, is the Russian doping scandal, which we've heard about in the last couple of years, where Russia had a systemic plan to cheat during the last Winter Olympic Games, to the point of using its anti-doping lab to actually dope. Pretty scandalous, pretty bad. But I think both those examples are fairly limited. I mean, the Salt Lake City Olympics was one discrete event that was being corrupted, and the Russia was one team at one event being corrupted, as opposed to the FIFA thing, which was so much broader.
Yeah, widespread, no doubt. Red card, how the U.S. blew the whistle on the world's biggest sports scandal. Ken Bensinger has been with us. Ken, how can people be in touch with you and get their hands on the book? Available at all the usual places, of course.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your local bookstore is an excellent option as well. And if they don't have it, demand it. You can follow me. I tweet pretty regularly about soccer corruption and other fun stuff in my event. My Twitter handle is at Ken Bensinger. That's KenBensinger, at Ken Bensinger. You can find my contact information on my Twitter bio as well if you want to reach out to me directly. And my direct messages are open. I love to hear from people. I love tips and ideas and feedback. And, I'd encourage anyone who's read the book to tell others about it if they like it. The reviews have been great. People really liked it. So I'm very thankful for the support.
Well, great job on all the hard work. As an investigative reporter, we know that your heart is to pursue the truth wherever it may lead you. And great work on this on Red Card. Thank you so much for being with us, Ken.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with heart and body extract.
I started taking heart and body extract from within a few days, I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of heart and body extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking heart and body extract.
Heart and body extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for heart and body extract.
Healthcare reform is...